Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. We're back in the New Testament. Back in our sermon series, we took a short break to talk about death on Palm Sunday, to talk about how God makes all things new on Easter Sunday, which is last week. We're back in 1 Peter, which is the New Testament letter to the Christians about living in a land that is not our own, that we are destined, we are called to a heavenly country in which our citizenship lies. Now, chapter 4, the latter portion of that dealt with suffering. If you can remember those, that stretch of sermons on a weekly basis, this hammered us with suffering. Today, we're not talking about suffering. It would be very pointed in what we speak about, scripturally speaking, because it's going to talk about leadership of the church, primarily elders. We're going to work our way through this verse by verse because God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, intended us to know this. So 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 1, read through verse number 4. We're reading out of the ESV translation. And here's God's counsel for us. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We are talking about elders, and biblically, looking through 1 Peter, there's a huge difference in chapter 4 when it transitions to chapter 5. That's why we divide it such. So the question is not how do we interpret this text? As I spoke to some others this morning, this is very factual. Peter's putting out a lot of facts, details, almost like a list. Here are the things I have for you. But the big question as I look at these verses, why in the world did Peter choose this point to talk about elders? He was flowing so well with suffering. And then he transitions the topic to leadership of the church, to elders. So why did Peter talk about elders? Because the people of God, sojourners of the faith, we're not yet to heaven. We're part of that kingdom right now. We're on our way there, and we are united as his church, and God intended for the church to be his vehicle of change for the kingdom, and in the church, God called on men to be elders, so therefore the church needs elders, and you, church, need to know about elders. You got to know, what does God say about elders? What does he say about leaders or pastors? And we're going to handle this topic in three ways. I believe Peter divides it up in three ways. He says it in four verses. We're going to explain it in the classic pastoral 3 points, okay? So how does Peter handle the topic of elders? And I know very well most of this sermon I'm preaching in the mirror to myself. So it wasn't a fun week studying this passage of Scripture. It's definitely not going to be a fun week of applying this truth, just so you know. But let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, and then read verse 4. We'll skip over verses 2 and 3. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Then let's go down to verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let me first explain it this way the topic of leadership as Peter demonstrates it by the Spirit to us. First, I want to talk about encouragement for elders. I want to talk about encouragement. It says right off the bat, Peter wants to exhort. That means strongly encourage. Peter wants to encourage the elders. Now, there are different Greek words for this group of men. I'll rattle off real quick, presbyteros, episkopos, and poimon. So you can say priests and bishops, elders, or shepherds. Those are the biblical ways in which this group is defined. And they're used interchangeably. And all of those positions of leadership are in the local church. They're visible. They're real people that you can talk to. So no matter if a church says, well, that's our elders, that's our bishop, please don't ever use that term with me. Or you could even say, those are our shepherds. Now, typically, we don't use those terms. Most of you call me pastor, and that is great. The first church I was senior pastor at, senior and only pastor at, we were a small farming community, they didn't know the term pastor. They just called me, you're the preacher. That's what you do. You're the preacher. You preach. But that was a term of endearment of leadership. And this is a big deal what God has called some of us to, this type of leadership, eldership, pastoring, shepherding. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul writes to Timothy about the qualifications of the elder or the bishop, he says this, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. There is no greater calling than to serve God and to speak on his behalf. Now, we say it's a noble task. That's a daunting task. And to be qualified, there are qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, just so you know. So not just anybody can become a leader in the church. Let me encourage you, elders. What are elders known for? Primarily, elders are known for teaching and preaching. So if someone in the community says, well, what does your pastor do? You would respond, he preaches. He teaches on a regular basis. He opens up God's word and explains it to us. He gives us the full counsel of God's convictions for us. But elders aren't just known for teaching and preaching. It says in the Bible, throughout the New Testament, some elders are known for more the leadership aspect of that capacity. They're known for leading God's people or shepherding. And so we would say sometimes that is governing God's people, and sometimes that's administration for the church. And I'll be very quick to say that is not my strong point, but that's why we have a team in place to help us in our weakness. And this isn't part of the sermon, but in Scripture, in the churches, it's always a team of leaders. You know, you don't fly solo when you're an elder. Titus chapter 1, when Paul writes to Titus about the churches, he says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. He uses different words to describe the same position in different parts of Scripture. There's an interchange, but he is talking about the leaders of the church. And herein, let me give you some encouragement, primarily to my staff, primarily to the elders and the leaders that teach and preach. Point A of this will not be on the slides. In verse 1, there's a huge shift from the prior chapter, because Paul changes the tone of everything. And in verse 1, he explains his heart. He says, here is the heart of this apostle. I exhort you elders as a fellow elder. Peter is saying, guys, I know what you're going through because I'm going through it right now. And there's some element to that. Unless you serve in a church ministry or in an elder capacity, you just don't know the stuff we go through. That's why if you go to, just so you know, if you go to a preaching conference or a pastor's conference, there's some dynamic speakers. But the best part is when all the guys get in the foyer and just start complaining about stuff. Oh, yeah, well, my church did this to me. Like, oh, yeah, I can raise you. This is what my church did to me. And I'm like, hey, my church didn't do that to me. I'm just here for the food and the coffee. And Peter is saying to the elders of the churches, I want to share my heart with you. Now, Peter is an apostle, commissioned, called by God, sent out for the furthering of the kingdom. Not many apostles. He also says, I'm a fellow elder. I break down God's word. I preach scripture on a regular basis. Rarely, I think twice or three times throughout this book, Peter uses the word I. He never says, I do this. He's always saying to you or to the third person, they. But here, he's breaking it out his heart. He's saying, I also encourage you. I'm an elder just like you guys. I'm a witness of Christ's suffering. I can relate to what you go through. Because not just in elder ministry, but if you're in positions of leadership in anything, the highs are really high and the lows are really low. On positions of leadership, you feel like, I'm all alone. Man, no one knows what I've done. No one knows what I'm going through. I had two mentors while I served in Memphis, and both of those men encouraged me because I needed encouragement as a young pastor. Dr. Daryl Clark, he is now in heaven, and Dr. Skip Parvin, he went to Alabama, far from heaven. Both of those guys, take that as you will. And so whenever I had to organize a revival, those are the first guys I called. Hey, can you come and preach for me? And they said, absolutely. And I could call them at any time and say, here's the situation. And almost always they say, oh, yeah, yeah, we've dealt with that. Or I say, hey, here is a complaint coming up in the church. And they would say, don't listen to that person. Or I'd say, here's another complaint. They said, you better take that one serious. What they were doing is they were encouraging me from their heart. Every person in leadership needs that, not just elders. You need a friend in Christ that will speak truth to you, to encourage you, to keep you on the straight and narrow. So whether you're an elder, you're a pastor, you're a leader, you need encouragement. You need it. We see that through the heart of the apostle. And point B of the first point, we see it in the glorious reward. It's easy to be struck with the here and now, saying here is all the nitty-gritty, here's all the stuff I've got to deal with, or the stuff I'm behind on. But what Peter discloses in verse 1 and verse 4, there is a glory to be revealed. Now, this goes to all Christians. Now, there's some ambiguity with this text. Do pastors or elders or missionaries get a special crown in heaven? The text does not say that either way. But those who serve God will be rewarded, and that includes elders. That includes pastors. That includes missionaries. And the reward that will be revealed, because it's a future reward, is based on your faithfulness. It's not based on your gifts. It's not based upon the quality of your work. It's based upon, listen to me, your faithfulness. Don't try to enhance your gifts, talents, and abilities. Enhance your faithfulness. And God will work the other things out. Then I want to encourage the elders, but secondly, we'll talk about expectations, but let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. The Holy Spirit of God through Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Secondly, the way he describes the topic of leadership is through expectations for shepherds. Expectations for shepherds. The Greek word he used there is different from the other word, elders. It's poimen, or a derivative of that. And it's used to describe the person and the activity, shepherd. And so when he uses these words, he's saying these are interchangeable, shepherd, pastor, or in some rural situations, preacher. Same thing. Everyone has different expectations of the pastor or expectations for upper leadership. I have read some very humorous job descriptions for the senior pastor position. And just unusual. Now, every church is autonomous. They can make their own decisions, so whatever they choose, that's up to them. I read a job description recently for a pastor. You got to be over 40, but you got to be under 60. We don't want any retirees coming to our church. There are some churches that desire their pastor to preach and teach from the King James only. They say it, they're very clear. We want a King James man. Yeah, be careful what you've asked for. I read another one this week. It said that their senior pastor has got to be computer savvy. Maybe that's in the King James translation. I haven't read that one yet. Everyone has expectations of the pastor, expectations of elders, expectations of leadership. But what does God say about expectations for shepherds? Now, when I talk about this, I can say this in all honesty, the best of my knowledge. I have never read in a job description 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, which is so unusual because God lays out his expectations. Let me walk through them. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. He says, let's talk about being a shepherd. Now, when Peter says elder, or he says shepherd, he points back to the Hebrew Old Testament and talks about that term and elevates it and modifies it to a different way. But what does the scripture, what does the Old Testament say about shepherd? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So there is that premise of the shepherd, that a shepherd has to be after the heart of God. It has to follow closely God's heart. And Peter lays out the expectation for the shepherds and elders, and that verb shepherd means to lead. It means do it with oversight, and that word is episkopos, where we get the word Episcopalian. It's a managerial sense. And we would even say, like, as a bishop, which we don't use that term very often, a bishop presiding over his parish, giving oversight. He also says the shepherd does not serve based upon compulsion. And that means you're not constrained or you're not forced to serve. He says you do it willingly, of your own volition, after your own choice. One of the fellow students at our seminary was pastoring a church, and then he made a mutual agreement to leave the church. And I got an opportunity to visit with that church, and I said, what happened? I got to talk to a few of their leaders. And of his own volition, he didn't show up to church until it was time to preach. He would preach, and then he would leave and not interact with the people. And during the week, he wouldn't come to the office. He wouldn't be around. He was never available. He made no effort to be with God's people. And it got to the point, they said, you've got to come to church before it's time to preach. It was very unusual. And I asked them, well, what's the difference between this guy and the next guy you want? They said, we've got to have a shepherd. We have someone that will spend time with us, that will lead us and be with us. God does not want anyone to serve under compulsion. It does your own free will, not under force, not under constraint, because it says, as God would have you, that means that's what God wills it to be. That's what God wants for your life. He also says that elders, shepherds, pastors should not do so for shameful gain. That means you do it because you have greed. Now, many go into ministry for shameful gain. I don't understand it. You can make a lot more money elsewhere. I just read a study this week that talked about there have been, in this last year, billions embezzled by pastors. Billions. Now, most of that is not in a local church setting. So you can relax. I'm not embezzling. And most of these people are overseas. Most of them have multi-campuses. And almost all of them have either a television ministry or a ministry that is very prominent online. So people send in money from all around the world to this person or this group of people, and it doesn't go to the church, it doesn't go to the mission field, it goes to that pastor's pocket. Shameful gain. And it's very true. And that is also church and guests, while we are very transparent about our financials. I don't have the authority to do a lot of stuff. And if you talk to our elder team or staff, I barely know what's going on financially as it is. And I do that willingly, because I don't want to know what you give. That's between you and God. And we do that as a team. And honestly, I'm not gifted in that area. Because if my financial advice, don't spend. Now, that doesn't work when we got to pay bills, just so you know. But pastors, elders, leaders should never be in ministry or in ministry positions for shameful gain or for financial reasons. The ministry we talk about, elders or the pastorate, we do that because we're eager to serve, because there's a calling deep within us, a desire to bless the people of God, and not in a domineering way, not because we have a position above everybody else. We've got a unique position beside everybody else. As we shepherd, as we walk beside people. Jeremiah chapter 23, the foundation for shepherds, verses 1 through 4. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord, and that is Yahweh, the God of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. So for those in leadership, to my staff, to those elders, here are the expectations God has for shepherds. If we deviate from God's heart, we deviate from ministry. And it's no longer about God, it's about ourselves. So Peter explains this topic of leadership through encouragement. He explains it through expectations. But let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The third way Peter describes the topic of leadership is by being examples of godly leaders. God, through Peter, tells elders, pastors, and leaders to be examples to their congregation. And what is difficult for me, because in a situation in life, I would say, how would my people respond to me acting this way? I've got to be an example to them. Shepherds lead their flocks The flocks follow the lead of their shepherd. And in natural sense, the hearers of this word in 1 Peter understood the shepherd and herd or flock mentality. As the shepherd goes, so go the followers. In an agrarian sense, but also in a practical ministerial sense, as the pastor and elders go, so goes the church. And that's the thought that keeps us up at night, or that catches me as I'm driving and thinking about things. Did I word that the right way? I'd say I struggled with that from 2010 to 2014, my first pastorate. I kid you not, I'd wake up in the middle of the night or early Sunday morning and think, did I explain the text the right way? I mean, I would lose sleep. I would suffer some anxiousness. Am I really explaining the text the way God's people need to hear it? It was troubling. As we lead leaders, so goes the church. We can never take them to a place we've never gone. We can't expect them to pray if we're not praying. So whatever we say or however we describe things is the same way the church is going to describe stuff. A lot of the personality of the pastors or staff and the personality of the elders is the way the church starts acting. The way I describe food will be the way you describe food. The way I talk about the garage sale weekend will be the way you talk about garage sale weekend. It's just the way it happens because that's the way of leadership. Wherever the pastor goes, the church follows. However the pastor or the staff live, so lives the church. And all of this were examples. The way I treat my wife, the way I raise my kids, the way I act in the community, the way I act when no one is watching, that's the example we're talking about, of leadership. Let me also preface this about leaders. We're not perfect. Don't put expectations on your pastors and elders that we can never meet. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to ask for forgiveness. And we want to embrace that. Pastors, elders, leaders, preachers, teachers, not perfect. We all fall short. But here is there's a beauty to this. We're not the shepherd. We're under shepherds. So think of it this way. We're not the boss. We're the middle manager. This church does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. So don't ever say, well, pastor, this is your church. No, no, no. I'm a middleman. This church belongs to the Lord. And one of the encouragements, point one, but also example for the godly leaders, is the chief shepherd's going to come back. It says, when the chief shepherd reappears, what does the church need to hear? That God's coming back. God's coming back for his church. What do leaders need to hear? That God's coming back. There's coming a time when the Lord Jesus will say, all right, elders, pastors, your time is done. I got this from here on out. Take a break. But when the chief shepherd appears, it's all going to be made right. And so maybe you've been hurt by a pastor. It's very possible I could have said something to offend you. But the chief shepherd will never do you wrong, will never say anything to offend you. And when he reappears, it will all be made right. The unfading crown of glory will be given out. And he is the perfect example of a shepherd. John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. If the chief shepherd is coming back, I've got to be faithful. Elders, pastoral staff, ministry leaders, when the chief shepherd reappears, you better be found faithful. Keeping watch in the night, trimming your lamps so you're ready. We're called to be faithful. But also know this, for those that serve, there's coming a time when he reappears and he's going to reward you. There's time in any occupation, any walk of life, you ask yourself, is what I'm doing, what I'm doing right now, does it even matter? What you do matters to God, not just elders and pastors, but for you as a faithful Christian. God wants you to be found faithful, and when he reappears, you'll be rewarded accordingly. Let that be an encouragement for you. Maybe you're struggling in your service. You say, all I do is serve, and there's an emptiness. I feel like there's no fulfillment. Can I tell you that when the chief shepherd reappears, it's going to be made right? As Peter talked about in this epistle, this letter to the church or churches, you're only here for a short time. You're just a sojourner. And think about this, we're going to be in heaven when that chief shepherd reappears. We're going to receive that crown of glory, not just us elders, not just us who surrender to vocational ministry, but any of us who are faithful will be rewarded by God as he wills it to be. As we talk about this, in the size of our congregation and those that follow us online, I would dare say that God's Holy Spirit is calling some men to be elders. That say, I've got this yearning in my soul from God himself that I'm going to serve his church. I'm going to lead his church. I'm going to govern the church. I'm going to provide administration for the church. But there may be some that God's Spirit calls out and says, I want you to serve me. I want you to preach my word. I want you to surrender all, lay it down at the cross, and say, I'll go wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do. I made that decision after my first year of college and never looked back. It has not been perfect. It has been a wild ride. But I can't imagine any other life. And if you can do something else other than ministry, do it. And I was challenged by many men in many varieties of areas saying, if you can do something else, get into business, sell insurance, go work at Walmart and move carts, be a greeter, get into academics. I can't because God called me. And that's to the men, if God is calling you to surrender to vocational ministry, explore it. Say, God, is that really your will? And explore. If there's other things to do, do it. But if God says, you serve me, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Maybe it's not a calling to ministry. Maybe it's not encouragement for those in ministry or expectations the church should know about. Maybe you would say, I don't have a shepherd of my heart. I don't know what would happen if I were to pass away right now? In John 10, it says, the chief shepherd, Jesus, laid down his life for the sheep. So God's Son, in his perfection, gave himself so that we could be made right with God. And all you have to do is believe that truth in your heart, confess that with your mouth, and come to him in faith. Just believe. And it's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge in which you move yourself unto God and say, I trust you so much, I'm going to follow you. And when you do that, it says you make him your Lord. You make him in charge of your life. So not only is he your Savior, he's also your Lord. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never demonstrated that through baptism. Maybe you've been baptized, but you've never joined the church. Maybe there's stuff in your heart that has nothing to do with the big decisions of that I talked about. You say, I got something going on, I need to pray about it. In just a moment, spend some time with your Heavenly Father who knows exactly what you're going through. When we talk about suffering, remember this, God also suffered. If you want to pray with me, in just a moment I'll be down front. If you want to make a decision, or even after the service is over, if God's speaking to your heart, make that decision today. Father, we thank you for your word. The placement of it, the tone, the personal nature in which Peter explained it to leaders. Father, may your hedge of protection, may your spirit be upon our leadership. And Father, as your leaders go, so go the church. And Father, in our failures, may this church still strive. Father, would you bless the hearts of the hearers? If anyone needs to make a decision of faith regarding the Lord Jesus as their shepherd, may they do that. Or if there's other things that they've put off, or maybe they're burdened right now with something going on. Father, would they bring that burden to you? And Father, I pray that you would bless our church as we build your kingdom. Father, may we be faithful until the very end, until the chief shepherd reappears. Father, would you bless our time? Would you bless our response? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.